Hello and welcome to the Leader to Leader podcast, a Chime Foundation series where we bring you the best of the best in digital health leadership. I'm Russ Branzell, your host for the podcast and the president and CEO of Chime, the College of Healthcare Information Management Executives. We continue to live and evolve through these challenging times for healthcare professionals, our industry partners, and the people we all serve. Leaders across the industry have proven their talent and determination as they innovate and transform their organizations to meet the moment and shape the future. We're proud to know those leaders and support them here at Chime. Today, we welcome a dynamic senior executive with over 25 years of experience in healthcare strategy, who is passionate about transforming the delivery of care and improving patient outcomes. He has previously served as the Senior Vice President for Ambulatory Markets for NextGen Healthcare and held leadership positions at Cerner, now Oracle Health, and Allscripts. In his current position as the president for North America for AGFA Healthcare, he believes that AGFA's unique vision of guiding health systems to improve accessibility and integration of medical imaging will improve their efficiency, collaboration, and clinical outcomes across disciplines and geographies. We are so pleased to welcome to our program, Mark Burgess. Mark, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks, Russ. It's great to be here. I appreciate the invitation and an opportunity to talk a little bit about AGFA Healthcare and just share some concepts and what I know about leadership and where the industry is going. It's such an exciting time to be in healthcare and healthcare IT. As you said, I've done it for a while now. I'm starting to, you know, really understand it. And it's just a privilege for us to be at kind of at this time in healthcare IT, because, you know, it's one of those industries where the stuff that we're doing today, you know, really is going to make it better for our kids and our kids' kids and so on and so forth. I mean, the impact that we have, that's always been the passion that I've had, is that, you know, being able to participate in doing all of the innovation and all the change and all of what we're trying to accomplish with the work in healthcare IT, it really is there to benefit the future. And I think that's a pretty cool thing to be able to participate in, because it's not every day that you get to be able to do that. So appreciate the invite and look forward to the discussion.
Well, you're pretty new in this position. I mean, that you've just taken as leading this whole organization. I think you've been there since last October. And boy, what a time to transition into organizations in our industry. Obviously, you've been in our industry for a long time, but, you know, I jokingly call this the lions and tigers and bears, oh my, period of healthcare, where we really are seeing so many things occurring: work shortages, work transitions, work from at home, care delivery models changing, technology changing, new cool things like AI and ML and neural processing. I mean, it really is both the coolest time probably ever to be in healthcare technology, all at the same time, one of the most challenging times. So, you know, you get some fresh new eyes in this position in your organization now over the last 6 months or so. How's the AGFA team doing? How are you doing in this new position? Kind of how do you think the industry feels right now? And I know it's a bit of a subjective, squishy question, but how do you kind of think things are going for us in healthcare?
Well, I mean, first off, with AGFA Healthcare, I mean, this is a time of rapid growth, right? And so it's an exciting time to come into the business. AGFA's been around for a long time. It's a very experienced business. It's got a lot of what you call history and legacy in medical imaging. So kind of my big part of stepping into this role is to elevate it to the next level of growth, right? So to your point, right, the change that's happening, or the evolution that's happening, and the pace that it's happening at today, which I completely agree, right? When I look back at the level of change from, say, 20 some years ago, and I think about that through meaningful use and, kind of the first deployments of electronic medical records that turned into electronic health records, that started the move to things like interoperability and being able to use more things with the EHR over time. And now we're getting to this place to where you don't want just a single patient record you know, from a clinical data perspective, you also want that from an imaging perspective as well. And so my experience in working with organizations to deploy at the enterprise level and all the things that we did to generate that single patient record across everywhere that patient experiences healthcare is really something that I've brought to AGFA and that I'm, you know, working with the teams on to say, okay, you know, we want this to be not just clinical side, but you want to have imaging side. This whole notion of whole patient care is, you know, is such a fantastic approach, right? And we've been aiming for this for a while. So we're excited to participate in that part of the market. I think that the market itself, you know, I think it continues to be hungry for change, hungry for innovation. Clearly we have to do that, you know, safely. We have to do it with, you know, some, you know, construct, right? So that everyone knows where we're going, right? And we can talk more about that as far as like how we develop those plans, how we lay those out, how we provide clarity and confidence to it. But I think that, you know, more so than ever before, the industry is really hungry for more and more innovation, more and more technology. And I think AI, to your point, has probably been one of those technologies that has just been really special. It has really made it to the top of everyone's, you know, vernacular very fast, faster than I've ever seen, right? I know it's been kind of a something in the making, but it just seems like everywhere I turn, there's a question about how are you using AI? How are you using augmented intelligence? How are you using machine learning? How are you creating automation in what you do? So that's an exciting place for us to be because we're very familiar with it. But again, I think the industry continues to be hungry for change. I think that we're continuing to move down this road of making sure that all of the technology is being used to give the patient the best experience, give the provider the best experience, and drive the best outcome, you know, possible, and certainly at the most reasonable cost. So that's right up my alley. That's middle of Main Street for me. So I'm excited to be here. It's been a fantastic year or so. It's been terribly fast. And I'm looking forward to a fantastic 24.
Well, let's talk about that and pull on that thread a little bit about change and really even the concept of adaptability. And part of leadership is helping people through that change, helping organizations through that change, and even helping the industry at a macro level do this. And you can use a lot of different words here for even adaptability, and that's agility and nimbleness and resilience and all that kind of stuff. One, how do you kind of see the industry moving through this period of changing, being able to adapt to new models and new ways of doing things? But also, more importantly, for you as a senior leader, how are you creating a culture where sometimes change isn't always embraced by people, but how do you create a culture where that adaptability is at least palatable, if not maybe even embraced by people on your team?
Well, first of all, it's a great way to describe the idea of embracing change. Okay, so there is a decision to be made there, right? You can embrace change or you can resist it. And you know, my experience is, and I've done both, right? Personally, right? I've lived on both sides of the coin there, but I think I've always found it to be better when you embrace the change. But to do that, you have to have a model, right, that you're confident in, so that as you go through change, it's very, very important that people understand their role in change. And that just kind of goes back to organizational structure 101. When we're just talking about inside of our business, we're not even yet talking about how we align that with our clients, because our clients are going through tremendous change as well. Some of that change we're leading with them, some of that change we're doing together. And some of that change is happening on their side that we have to, you know, kind of measure and monitor, you know, from our perspective. But when we talk about inside of our organization, the first part about change is ensuring that people know where they're beginning from and where we're looking for them to go. And we spent a lot of time over the last year, you know, focused on ensuring that we've got clear definition of role responsibilities. We have aligned that to our work, right? How we want work to be orchestrated, right? and then how we want to improve that over time and how we're going to measure it so that we know, are we making progress? You know, are we not making progress? Where we need to refine, where we need to change, where we need to stop. That to me is, if you can paint that picture for a team, I think it gives them the clarity and confidence to know what it means to them, because nothing's real until somebody knows what it means to them. You can paint the great pictures, you can do a great presentation, but until you make it personal for someone, that's really where you start to see the change happen, right? And then you can kind of work your way up from there. Now, change doesn't happen in a straight line. I always think I'm a big aviation buff, although I'm not a pilot or anything like that. I enjoy the idea of what it means to fly a plane. And, you know, you think about, you know, every time you go and get on a plane, those pilots are filing a flight plan, right? And they know they're going to go from point A to point B. They know the route they're going to take, the altitude, the speed, all those sorts of things are taken into consideration. But that can change, right? The route can change, weather changes, congestion of other aircrafts change, all those sorts of things. So you have to have that situational awareness. And of course, you've got to be listening to all of the information that's being provided to you, all the relevant information is being provided to you, so that you can adjust along the way. And I think establishing that up front to say, here's the plan, here's where we want to go, here's what it means to you, but you've got to be prepared to refine and change and stop and start along the way, so that people understand that we're going to get to this destination, right? Which we always say, it's a journey. It's not just you're getting to one place that you're going to journey through. But we're going to have to find, you know, the right ways to do it. We don't always know all that up front. So knowing how to deal with those changes along the way is what we try to instill. Because as long as our teams understand that, then they can adjust their expectations and their mindset. And mindset is the absolute best thing when it comes to change. You just have to have that mindset. And then, of course, we have a whole other way of looking at that, although it's sort of core of what I just described, when we work with our clients. But for me, it's all about making sure that people understand they know the plan and they know that it's going to be something that's dynamic to some degree, but we're always going to keep our eye on where we're going. And we're going to communicate and we're going to adjust and modify appropriately along the way. So it's not perfect, but I think communication is certainly, you know, so essential to change.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some balance here in our industry, and in particular, you know, we'll dwell on you and your organization, but really even at a macro level, where, you know, we still got to take care of the day-to-day. We still got to make sure the stuff that's already deployed or the health systems continue to work, all while we're trying to figure out where the future is and innovate at a pace, probably at the greatest pace, I would argue, that we've ever seen in the industry, where not only is new technology, but new advances in the existing technology seem to be appearing very, very quickly. So how do you balance, traditional leadership of your organization and the products are already deployed and the people you're already supporting, all while at the same time trying to get the technology to a new place and people to a new place in the future? How do you balance that world?
Well, for us, we really ground ourselves in staying true to the fundamentals, meaning, we want to make sure that our organization is addressing the fundamentals of what our clients expect from us. And those, examples of those fundamentals are, workflow, high performing capabilities, the experience of the users, the experience of the physicians, ensuring that we're keeping aligned to the relevancy of how they're going to use our technology, how they're going to use our services, how we're partnered with them in, obviously training them and keeping them up to speed on the latest and greatest. And then we want to find the ways to align, new things, new innovations, so that we're incorporating that innovation at the right time in the right way. We have a client engagement model, right, where we focus on you know, ensuring that we're aligning the vision and value. So the vision of what the organization is trying to go after, problems they're trying to solve, things that are important to them, how that aligns to the value of the solutions that we're bringing to them. Obviously, we want to continue to create that value along the way. Then we want to have, you know, focus on the outcomes that are important to them, right? And then we want to have continuous engagement along the way. That framework is what we put in place to ensure that we keep the consistency, right? And we keep the communication going at the right level so that, you know, as we execute on the fundamentals, we find the right places to introduce the innovation. And I think that really has given us a great model so that, because innovation is something that, you know, you have to be very mindful of how that innovation is going to present itself, particularly in healthcare, because this is, you know, certainly a whole nother level of what, you know, what these individuals are working on, right? This is all personal stuff. So the way that innovation is dropped in has to be done in a deliberate and purposeful way. But that model really gives us the ability to do it in a way that we feel gets the best results that are sustainable long-term.
So let's talk a little bit about the difference between certainty and clarity. And we are no doubt in a period of significant uncertainty. The payment system is always in question. The work is changing. Periods of time there where health systems are merging and acquisitions. I mean, there's just so much change going on that it creates a lot of uncertainty. And people like certainty because it makes them feel safe. It makes them feel like they're in control. When all at the exact same time, we need clarity of direction, even in a period of uncertainty. And we can provide clarity, but we often can't provide certainty during this period of time. So as you see technology changing people's jobs, their workflows, and in some cases, even eliminating jobs. I remember many years ago, putting one of your current products in, and all of a sudden we didn't need a significant number of transcriptionists anymore because physicians started doing their own dictation and doing their own direct reporting. And so created ambiguity and discomfort in the workplace, all while massively improving productivity and outcome. So how do you approach this where sometimes the things you're doing to make things better and appropriately better also creates maybe a little bit of ambiguity for people in their jobs?
Yeah, it's certainly something that we tackle every day. It's a great point. And it really hasn't, you know, it really hasn't changed. I mean, this is really what started, you know, many years ago with the introduction of technologies, as the example you gave. So I think for us, it's all in the preparation, right? And so preparation is all about discovery and design, right? Ensuring that you're preparing all relevant parties to move through this sort of course of improvement, right? Whether that's improvement in workflow, improvement in efficiency, improvement in outcome, you know, whatever the case may be, because, you know, it has to change. This all kind of goes back to the change part. From a certainty and clarity standpoint, I think for us on the clarity side, it's all about that plan, right? So we want to be clear about the plan of record, right? What are the objectives? What are the initiatives? What's the work plan that we're going to follow, knowing that it can change and it can get refined? I think on the certainty part, you know, we are trying to focus energy around outcomes. And I think you're spot on with organizations. And I get that question quite a bit, right? How certain are you that this piece of technology is going to work the way you say it's going to work, right? Or, you know, how close is the demo that you're giving me to what real life is going to be like? So we really are advancing our abilities to research and sort of uncover, if you will, how our technology is going to stand up to certain use cases, is going to stand up to certain problems, so that we can then in turn give organizations a little bit more certainty, if you will, on that, right? So you're really problem solving with them, right? Yeah, because this isn't just about making a change on the technology side. As you said, it's making a change on the operational side. And so our ability to collaborate and start to give them a sense of how this outcome is going to happen and how it's happened either in our lab or how it's happened in other client sites is something that we really are spending a lot of time on. In fact, one of the initiatives that we have today is building living labs. We like to call them living labs in the marketplace, where we've gone in with organizations that really like to lean in on tech, and they like to try things. They like to be on the front end of a lot of this. They like to be on the leading edge. And so as a part of that, we can use their environments, whether that's taking them back into our own technical labs or whether we use their out in their real world, to try these different workflows, to try these different problem-solving capabilities, to see how the outcome occurs, right? And be able to pressure test that along the way. That is starting to resonate a lot with clients, particularly in the move that we're seeing where organizations are really like, hey, I don't want to just have some sort of imaging capability that sits in one place in my organization. I want it to be across the enterprise. And that has really opened up a dialogue where they want to know, you know, when I make this move, how is it going to impact this other service line? Or how is it going to impact my IT department? Or how is it going to impact my administrative department? How am I going to incorporate that, you know, not just in where the images are, but how the images get moved around? So we're seeing more and more of that discussion. And it's been great that we can leverage that investment in showing them those outcomes. So that's a little bit about how we're dealing with the certainty side. But to your point, it can't be 100%, but we certainly try to get them as close to that as we can.
So as our time's running out, let's kind of focus on part of our responsibility of leaders is really the development of individuals, whether they be our direct reports or even in some cases, you know, brand new entries into our workforce. And we are definitely at an interesting time when it comes to the workforce of healthcare at a macro level. Boomers are leaving in significant numbers as they retire. And as the market continues to hold strong or maybe even improve a little, we'll only see that ramp up. And all indications are that the boomers are going to be continuing to leave at record paces, which means all of our experienced leaders, all of our experienced knowledge base, and admittedly, people that were trained to work harder sometimes than a 1.0 FTE are leaving the workforce, which means our leaders are going to be younger. They're going to be less experienced. So we have a big responsibility to mentor them, to grow them, to push them, to stretch them, all while we try to think about running an organization successfully. And so what's your advice? What's your approach to developing leadership, developing the future of your organization, all while you got to keep the ship running and running really well? So how do you kind of, again, balance that? But what's your approach to mentorship and leadership development?
Yeah, this is a really great topic for me. I love the idea of developing leaders, developing people, developing talent, if you will. It's probably one of the more fun parts of my job. First off, it's an honor to lead in healthcare. As I said at the beginning of the conversation, you know, being able to participate in the advancement of healthcare is a privilege, because you really feel like you're doing something that's going to help others in the future, people you'll never meet in your life, or it could be a family member or your kids or something like that. So first and foremost, it's a real privilege. I've had great leaders. I've been very fortunate in my career. I've worked for fantastic people. So if by chance any of those people might be listening to this podcast, I would say, thank you for being a great leader to me, because you've inspired me to want to be able to pass that along to others. I think at the end of the day, the goal and the idea of a mentor, the idea of developing leaders, is you want them, you want to help them unlock their best work. That's ultimately what you're trying to get out of somebody. You want to unlock their best work, which means you need to help them get through things that are just potentially distracting them or getting in their way. People are really good sometimes of just getting in their own way, myself included. And by the way, I still work with mentors today, which is a big part of my success, or any success that I have is the fact that I'm continuing to try to work with mentors and find ways to unlock my own best work. But that's really ultimately what you want to do. How you go about that is obviously, you know, different for everybody. I think clarity in role really helps. Clarity with objectives really help. The ability for someone to understand, you know, and see out into the future where they need to, you know, maneuver, whether they're maneuvering a project, whether they're maneuvering an idea, or a team for that matter. That's really important. Like this idea of thinking through where you want to be, kind of like starting with the end in mind. I'm surprised often about, you know, folks that I talk with that are younger that are not thinking about that. Where do you want to end up with, or where do you want to journey to? What are the waypoints along the way? How do you want to measure and manage that? While those are fairly simple concepts, when you start to put them all together, I'm surprised or not surprised that people do struggle with that, because maybe they try to make it more complicated than it needs to be, but it's really not. But you do have to think through it. You have to write it down. That's one of the things that I encourage people quite a bit, write stuff down. We have an age of just, you know, kind of like quick text messages or PowerPoints or things like that. Write them down, make a bullet list, right? Figure out how you want to organize your thoughts, and then turn that into a work plan. Those are sort of the tactical sides of things. I think from there, it's all about someone staying connected to the bigger picture, right? Leadership is all about seeing the bigger picture and being able to get there. So I think, you know, I always encourage people, stay connected to what's going on in the industry. What are the big things that are driving either the change or the innovation or the movements of new stuff? How are you participating in that? How are you incorporating those principles into what you do? I think that's another big part of leadership. And then empathy, right? I think this idea of being able to empathize with people's needs, you know, how they're going to react to things, how they're going to be able to participate in things, how you're ensuring that you've got inclusion along the way, making sure that people are clear about that, about what they're doing, about what others are doing, how the work is connected and orchestrated. This way of knowing that everybody experiences work differently. So being able to see that through different lenses is really important in leadership, and then being able to translate it down into a way that's easily to be understood. So certainly not easy. But it's a real privilege to work with some of these young folks. And by the way, the folks that I'm working with, the younger folks in our organization I'm working with, are so smart. The kids today are so smart in what they're doing. They're so much further advanced than I ever was. So I've got a really great hope for how these young leaders are going to show up down the road. It's really inspiring to work with them. It's a real privilege.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. The old concept of that's the next generation doesn't apply anymore. They're the now generation, and they're right here, and they're amazing, amazing people. Well, Mark, it was an absolute pleasure to have you on the program today. Some amazing insights and thoughts on leadership. As I looked at a bit of your bio and your background, I think at some point I was a customer of almost every company you ever worked for. So I'm sure our paths have crossed many times in the past, if not in the product world, maybe in person. But I wish you the very best at AGFA and with their great team there. And we look forward to seeing what this new year brings for both of us.
Well, Russ, I really appreciate it. It's been great to spend a little time with you. AGFA Healthcare is just a fantastic place to be. I'm excited to be a part of it. Our people are so dedicated and committed to what we're doing with enterprise imaging. I think for Chime, our relationship with Chime and you and the team there, we really value the ability to participate in your events. We certainly will be doing that, you know, here soon and throughout the year. So we appreciate all the efforts. You know, it is. I know what it was. You know, long time ago, and it's the evolution has been amazing, and I look forward to the future there as well. So thank you for doing that. Thank you for having me, and I look forward to seeing you in person.
Absolutely. Hey, thank you again, and thank you to all of our listeners for joining us for this episode of Chime's Leader to Leader podcast. As always, you can visit us at Spotify or at chimecentral.org/media to listen to this and all these great healthcare leaders. Continue to innovate, transform, and create positive change to advance and improve health and care throughout the communities you serve. But for now, stay safe and God bless.